Sunday's homily made it quite clear that the call that the apostles received in those first moments, those first encounters with Jesus, was not a call to priesthood, was not a call to be an apostle, was not a call to be an exorcist. It was first and foremost a call into fellowship, a call to be a beloved son, a beloved daughter of God, a call that all of us share in our being called into fellowship and intimacy with Jesus Christ. Today we see that foundation being set and built upon. Jesus calls to him 12, which he gives a specific role in the church, in the community of believers, in the community of the faithful, in that fellowship. It says, so that they might be with him. Again, an emphasis on intimacy, that they would be together, that he might send them forth also to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. It is not enough that Jesus save us, but he invites us to participate in that salvation for us and for others. We are invited into, in that intimacy, to then become those who go forth with the good news of salvation, to prepare others to give their assent, to prepare others so that they, when they encounter Jesus, would be able to give their yes, because they have seen what it means to have one give their yes to Jesus in the lives of the ones that are standing before them. How are these 12 qualified? Did Jesus have his HR department gather together all of the resumes of those who were wanting to be his apostles? I mean, is this the 12 out of 500 that applied for this inner circle relationship kind of thing? If we are honest about these 12 persons, if we are honest about their lack of qualification, the work that they were doing, and now Jesus has called them into a different kind of work. You were a fisherman, now I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You were a tax collector. We will see in them those who are not qualified by the world's view. And yet Jesus still calls them. Now, there's this obvious one, this red flag of Judas Iscariot that we're like, well, why did he call him? Just so he could betray him? Judas goes forth in power. We forget that. It's not like the 12 went forth, 11 of them did these things. They preached and they drove out demons. Judas was a part of that. He was participating in that. So the invitation, my brothers and sisters, is for us to enter in, to receive, to be transformed, and to go forth in that transformation of self. We are not qualified. I mean, the church does its best to qualify those who are being called to marriage and to do the paperwork. It does its best to qualify those who are being called to the priesthood and sending them to seminary and doing all of the paperwork. It does its best to qualify those who are called to religious life by doing the paperwork and doing the formation and doing the time of preparation, all of these things. But the baptismal call to enter in true humility is what puts us in the place to be witnesses and to proclaim what Jesus has done. Can you speak about what Jesus has done and the freedom that you have received in him if you have not received it? If it has always been a subject matter in the catechism or a subject matter in school? Well, I got my degree and I got my minor in theology. So, you know, I took the tests. I'm okay to stand up here in front of everybody and say these things. What Jesus really needs are those who know him, those who have allowed their lives to be touched by him, those who have received the gospel message of Jesus Christ, those who have humbly repented from their sins and have been brought to a new transformation in him. This is who Jesus needs to bear witness to him in the world. So how are you qualified, my brothers and sisters? You are qualified when you allow that grace to be a part of your life. When you enter in and receive the gospel and allow it to transform your life and to change your life, when you enter in, this is what's qualifying you. Not to be a master of theology, but to declare to the world, this is what my life was, this is what happened when I encountered Jesus Christ, and this is who I am now. You should have every authority to speak in witness of your life and your testimony. Do you have a testimony of the impact that Jesus Christ has had upon your life? It's amazing if you hear a testimony. Oh my gosh, 7 minutes and 30 seconds of my homily so far, and I still haven't drawn to the conclusion. Sorry. It's amazing when we hear a testimony of someone that was like completely lost. They have this radical encounter with Jesus and, you know, bells and whistles and lightning and earth is trembling, and now they're a different person. For many of us, we don't have that kind of thing. But if we have ever struggled with obeying what God has commanded us, have we ever struggled with purity, struggled in our life, struggled with trust in the Lord, struggled in any way, and that we bring these sins, my brothers and sisters, there is power in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If we humble ourselves and seek a Redeemer, many of us just believe that who we are and what's going on in our life is just the way it's going to be until I die. Just got to stay close to the church, make sure that Father hears my confession before I die, and that's how it's going to be. This is not the fullness of grace. This is not the fullness of life that God desires for his believers. He desires that the gospel message in all of its goodness be proclaimed and received. And then in the receiving of that gift, we then have a story of witness. We have a testimony of the goodness of God and his mercy and compassion breaking forth in our flesh and blood. You are always an expert in how God has transformed your life. This is what God wants for his people. He doesn't want people studying about him and spouting out knowledge about him. We need people who are scholars, yes, but we need every single believer to know intimately the power of the gospel message of Jesus Christ in their flesh and blood. Where the story and the power of the gospel has intersected with my life in a real way. And my brothers and sisters, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't know if I've ever experienced that, Father. I don't know what you're talking about. And guess what? God has got something awesome in store for you yet. Something to be excited about your faith that you have not yet discovered, that you have not yet entered into and experienced. Don't think of it as, I've never had that. Think of it this way. You have something coming for your life. Because the gospel message of Jesus Christ has power today, just as it did when he called the 12 to him. I pray that if you don't have the story, that God will soon surprise you and you will have a story to tell your grandchildren about. Amen.